Just to review, we left off in Acts chapter 6 last week at the end of Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, we learned about seven men who were chosen by the apostles. The apostles chose out, the people there chose out seven men. And they were looking for godly men. They were looking for good men. They were looking for gifted men. So that these men could be able to meet the physical needs while the apostles met the spiritual needs. They would study and prepare for the preaching and spend time in prayer as well. And so they were able to meet the spiritual needs while these men that were chosen out, again, these good and godly and gifted men were chosen out to meet the physical needs. Well, Stephen was one of those men. And the Bible starts to describe the life of Stephen. We read it last week on Sunday night in chapter 6. Stephen was a man that was full of faith. He was a man that was full of power. The Bible tells us that he was falsely accused by the Sanhedrin. And the main application, the main thought that we wanted to get out of the message last Sunday night was, what will we do when we face times of mistreatment? And being falsely accused, Stephen was mistreated. Well, the Bible tells us how he reacted. Look, if you would, chapter 6 and the last verse. The last verse, we'll remind ourselves of this from last week. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. We see how he reacted to being mistreated. The Bible tells us God's grace was on him. No anger, no hatred in his heart. But instead, the Bible tells us he responds with peace, knowing that God is in control. Well, that's where we get to chapter number 7 in the book of Acts. And the Bible tells us, we're going to start by reading verse number 1. Verse number 1 kind of gives us a springboard into what Stephen does here in chapter 7. Look at what it says in verse number 1, if you would, of chapter number 7. It said, "Then said the high priest, are these things so?" Now remember, they had falsely accused Stephen. It would be like Jesus during his trials, the men looking at him and saying, "Are these things so?" Of course, we know that those things that were said of Christ were not true. He was falsely accused. Stephen, the same way, falsely accused. And so he says, "Are these things true?" So when the high priest, he begins his questioning now. And when he begins his questioning, you have to understand this. It's very important for us to understand. How Stephen responds is so important because his life is at stake here. Now remember, there were many times where they had placed the apostles in prison already. And God, in miraculous ways, with his power, has rescued these apostles time and time and time again. Well, the Bible tells us as they falsely accuse Stephen, they're angry at him. And his life here is at stake as the high priest begins his questioning. But the Bible tells us boldly, that does not stop Stephen from declaring the scriptures. And so the Bible tells us boldly, Stephen begins this message that he is going to deliver to the high priest and to the Sanhedrin that is gathered there. Again, remember that 71 member Jewish court of law that was gathered there. And to accuse Stephen of things that he was, the accusations that were false that were given before to Stephen. And so Stephen is going to answer, again, knowing that his life is at stake. And it reminds me of that song we just sang, "Dare to be a Daniel," right? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Daniel, even knowing that that law was passed, he still prayed, didn't he? Stephen, knowing that his life is at stake, the Bible tells us he begins to give a message here. And notice what happens in verse number 2. I want to start out at the very beginning of verse number 2. And I want to share something with you that I think is a wonderful application at the start here and a wonderful truth for us. Look at verse number 2. It says this. And he said, so Stephen begins, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." Now I want to pause there just a moment and then we're going to get into the thoughts of our message tonight. But I want to pause just for a moment because I think we see an application right away in verse number 2. Here's what the Bible tells us Stephen does. He goes directly to the Word of God, doesn't he? His response is directly from the Word of God. That's an encouragement for us tonight, right? when we are at a point in which we have to take a stand for the Lord, let's just go directly to the Word of God. And that's what Stephen does. He turns to the Word of God. So Stephen is going to use this message that he is going to deliver here to the high priest and before that Sanhedrin. He's going to use this message to give an overview of the children of Israel's journey of faith. The children of Israel had quite a journey of faith, and Stephen is going to tell us about it. Stephen is going to tell the Sanhedrin about it. He's going to answer the high priest by giving an overview of the children of Israel's journey of faith. Now, can I say this? You might remember this from last week. Another great application tonight. We told you that when they falsely accused Stephen, we told you that Stephen had a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, didn't he? Remember, we said that last week. He was full of knowledge. As a matter of fact, they couldn't believe the things that they were hearing from him. They didn't even know how to answer his wisdom, the Bible says. Remember, we even used the application, the illustration, the comparison last week of Jesus as a little boy in that temple. When they were gathered around him listening to the words that he said, they couldn't believe the knowledge that he had. They couldn't believe Stephen's knowledge. So the application is this. That's why it's important to study the Bible. Matter of fact, Miss Nancy just brought up that wonderful truth. As you study through the Word of God, especially when you're presenting it to somebody else, it just challenges you to know more about the Word of God. And we need to know the Scripture, don't we? We need to study to show ourselves approved, as the Bible says. We need to be ready always to give an answer of the reason, of the hope that is within us, with meekness and fear, the Bible says. So it's so important to study the Scriptures. Well, the Bible now is going to record for us the longest sermon that we see recorded in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us Stephen is just going to lay it out. He's going to give them an overview of the children of Israel's journey of faith. And notice two things that I want you to see tonight, and they're going to be both from Old Testament Bible characters that Stephen brings up in his sermon. The first thing I want us to notice tonight is the faith of Abraham. I think it helps us as we make application of these things that we're seeing here in the book of Acts, as we see some truths. I think it helps us to see the story of Abraham and how he delivers this story, reminding the high priest and reminding the Sanhedrin of the faith of Abraham. So let's look at the faith of Abraham, and we're going to start in verse number 2. Now, we already read the verse, but he says this. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. He says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." Now, in the next few verses, I want us to take a verse at a time, and I want us to notice something about Abraham's faith in verse 2 and the verses that are following here that deal with this Old Testament Bible character of Abraham. The first thing I want us to notice is this. The faith of God's people began with Abraham. The faith of God's people began with Abraham. You think about what happens in Genesis chapter number 12, where the Bible tells us that God comes to Abraham. And he tells him that he is to get up from where he is living. And he's to go to a place that God is going to show him. And what does God give him? God gives him a threefold promise, doesn't he? He gives him the promise of a land, a seed, and a blessing. Now, had not Abraham responded by faith, even the story of our lives would be different today, wouldn't they? But Abraham responded by faith. And so I want us to notice in verse number 2 that the faith of God's people began with Abraham. Abraham leaves to us a wonderful example, doesn't he? So here's, I think, the application that we make tonight. Faith begins with an individual. Faith begins in the heart and the life of an individual. It's not about saying that faith would begin with an institution. Faith would begin with the church as a whole, or a family as a whole, or if we would use the institution of the government, say that faith would begin in that institution. Faith begins in an individual. And that's what we see here tonight. God wants us to be individuals of faith, doesn't he? I've said it over and over again. I think the application is found over and over again in the book of Acts, that we're saved by faith, but we live by faith. We walk by faith as well. And so that faith began in an individual. Abraham, the Bible tells us, walks by faith, and as a result of his faith, the faith of God's people began in him. So it began in the individual choice and faith of Abraham. But then the second thing I want us to notice about Abraham's faith, look with me if you would at verse number 3. So now Stephen begins to tell the story of Abraham. And we know this story pretty well. Again, we've read it in the Old Testament book of Genesis, the journey of Abraham and the faith that he put to have a son and to go to this land and to have these promises that God told him he was going to have and receive. Look at verse number 3, if you would. I want us to notice a second truth about his faith. And said unto him, okay, so this is God now speaking to Abraham. Stephen is just giving this story of Abraham. So he says, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Number 2, here's the second thing I want us to notice about Abraham's faith. Number 1, the faith of God's people began with Abraham. But number 2, I want us to notice Abraham's faith was resting in the Word of God. Abraham's faith was resting in the Word of God. Notice the Bible says that God's Word comes to him. God speaks to him. God delivers this message, this request, this commandment to Abraham. And the Bible tells us that his faith was resting in the Word of God. The Bible tells us so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are putting our faith in the Word of God today, aren't we? By the way, we have hope of heaven today because of the Word of God. That's what we're trusting in. If you would say tonight you're trusting in anything else, then you're trusting in something that cannot get you to heaven. You've got to put your faith in the Word of God. Abraham's faith was resting in the Word of God. Our faith should be resting in the Word of God. But then notice verse number 4, if you would. So we notice that the faith of God's people began with Abraham. It began in an individual. Our faith individually should rest in the Word of God. But then look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. So the Bible tells us for a time he dwells in Haran until something takes place. Look at what happens next. And from thence, when his father was dead. So now he stays in Haran, the Bible tells us, until his father dies. But then once his father dies, the Bible tells us he gets up from that place. And now notice the end of verse number 4. He removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So for a time he left his land. He traveled to Haran while his dad was still alive. Then when his dad died, he journeyed to the land of Canaan. That was the land of promise that God had for him. Now, number 3 about the faith of Abraham tonight. I want us to notice this about Abraham's faith. Number 3, Abraham's faith was demonstrated by his obedience. Abraham's faith was demonstrated by his obedience. He obeyed the Lord, didn't he? So what does the Bible tell us he does? Look at verse number 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans. What did he do? He did what God asked him to do, right? God tells him to get up. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. Leave your kindred. And get up to this land. Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham demonstrated his faith by his willingness to get up and to obey what God asked him to do. Now, with every one of these, we need to be making applications. Let's have individual faith. Let's let our faith rest on the Word of God, and let's demonstrate our faith by our obedience. If we truly believe God today, let's obey Him. Let's put our faith and trust in Him. As the song goes, I love what the hymn writer says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust, that's faith, right? And obey. So he demonstrated his faith by his willingness to obey. But then let's look at verse number 5. I think we see something else about the faith of Abraham in verse number 5. It says this, and he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. Now here's something wonderful about Abraham's faith that I want us to see. Number 4, about the faith of Abraham. Abraham's faith was settled in a promise and not in a place or a possession. Now really get that tonight. Abraham's faith was settled in a promise and not in a place or a possession. Now, notice the Bible says this in verse number 5. It says that God gave him no inheritance in that land. As a matter of fact, that we know that during Abraham's time, of course, they did not conquer that land in Abraham's time. It wasn't until Joshua led those campaigns and they conquered the land and got to settle in that land. But God did give him a promise, didn't he? He didn't have a place right there. He didn't have a possession of that land right there. But he said, hey, your family's going to have this promise. And your family's going to have this place. And your family's going to have this possession. And notice what it said. It said, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no children, or child, excuse me, which means he didn't even have a child to know that there was going to be a seed to pass this promise or this place or this possession on to. But Abraham trusted by faith. His faith was in God alone. That's the application tonight. His faith was in God alone. It wasn't in a place. It wasn't in some type of a possession, but it was in God alone. The truth for us tonight is simply this. Again, we can make a truth in our lives or an application in our lives in every one of these points. But the truth is this. Our faith tonight should rest in Christ and Him alone. Now, it's easy, and I think you would acknowledge this with me. If not, I think we would not be speaking accurately. I think it's easy for us to have faith when we see things. When money is safely in the bank account, it's easy to trust, isn't it? You know, when we see it there, when we know those needs are provided, and we know we don't have things to worry about because we're seeing it there, we're seeing it before us, but it becomes a little bit more challenging when it requires us to trust and it requires us to wait and things that we do not see. Remember, we're walking by faith, not by sight. Things that we see, those are easy to trust in. Those are easy to have faith. But when it's something that we do not see, Abraham did not see it yet, did he? Abraham was there in the land, but he didn't see it as his possession yet. It wasn't something that he had for his own. And by the way, at the end of that verse, Stephen reiterates the fact that he didn't even have a child yet, did he? God was telling him, you're going to have a seed, and it's going to be as much as the stars that are in the sky and the sand by the seashore. But he didn't even have a child yet, did he? So he had to trust in something that he did not even see yet. And the same applies to us today. To trust in that which we cannot see. Not relying upon a place or a promise, but relying upon the promises of God's word. Now you think about this. I challenged the young people. I had an opportunity this past week to preach chapel over in Hagerstown. And I challenged the young people. The Bible tells us many times it gives us this thought, but specifically a passage of scripture in the book of Timothy where the Bible tells us not to trust in uncertain riches. Riches can come. Those things that we see today, they can come and go, can't they? But God says, I'm asking you to trust in promises that you cannot see. I'm asking you to put your faith not in places that you see with your eyes, not in possessions that you see with your eyes, but put your faith and trust in me. And that is exactly how Abraham's faith was settled. It was settled not on a place or a possession, but a promise that God had given to him. Then would you look at me with me in verse number 6? Verse number 6, here's another thought about the faith of Abraham and really a challenge for our faith tonight as well. Look at verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Now we know this is generations that come after Abraham. So Abraham has Isaac, and Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob has his 12 sons. And we know that during that time, eventually the children of Israel go to Egypt, and then they're placed into that bondage, and they're placed into that bondage for 400 years. So Stephen is talking about things that are lying ahead in the life of Abraham in the story of the Old Testament. And notice what he says in verse number 7. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. All right, here's the challenge for our faith that I think we see in verse number 6 and verse number 7. Here's the challenge. Our faith may from time to time be tested with trials and persecution. Think about the faith that the children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, had to put in the Lord when they went through times of trial and persecution. And the Bible tells us it was an even extended period of time, wasn't it? 400 years, the Bible tells us. They were in these moments of trial and persecution. Now, by a way, again, of an application or a truth in our life tonight, would you not agree with me that there are times in our lives that we go through trials and persecutions, and we may get through that moment of trial and through that moment of persecution, and we will realize that it was God's way of testing our faith and even growing our faith. And so it's true, as we read verse 6 and verse number 7, that our faith may be tested through trials and persecutions. So now let's look at verse number 8. I want you to notice verse number 8. The Bible says this, "And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs." Of course, we're talking about the patriarchs here. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those 12 sons of Jacob as well. We're going through the line of these patriarchs that we've read about here from verse 1 down to verse number 8. Here's the last thought about Abraham's faith that I want you to get tonight. Number whatever it is tonight. Number 5, I guess it is. Abraham's faith was evidenced by a reminder. Abraham's faith was evidenced by a reminder. You say, well, what was that reminder? Well, the Bible tells us it was the circumcision that would take place. And when these patriarchs, the Bible tells us, were circumcised, the Bible tells us that was the reminder of their faith. Because that's exactly what circumcision was. It was a reminder of God's ownership. You are owned by God. You're a special people. Remember, that's exactly what God had promised Abraham, right? He had promised him a land. And we know that's going to be the land of Canaan. That seed that he was going to have, that Hebrew nation that would start, and that son that God would give him, Isaac. And by the way, would go all the way through to the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes to the last promise, the blessing. The blessing of the fact that Jesus Christ would be in the line of Abraham. God had given all of these promises to him. And he says, you're owned by me. And as a result of being owned by me, that sign or that reminder of the faith that you've put in me, and the reminder of the fact that you are God's ownership, is in this circumcision that takes place. And also, it is a reminder of the fact that God's blessings were going to be on Abraham, and God's blessings were going to be on all of these patriarchs that would lie ahead as well. A reminder of the blessings of God, the ownership of God. Now tonight, as God's people, it's true, we read it in the Bible, that we are owned by God tonight, aren't we? The Bible says we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We're owned by God. We don't have the right to do with our bodies and our lives whatever we want to do, because we are owned by God. We're God's people, aren't we? And God promises his blessings to his people as we respond in faith and we live fruitful lives, as we talked about this morning. So the wonderful promises that we have. I want you to notice now, as we move on to another Bible character here to finish off this message, I want you to notice something in Romans chapter 4, if you would, quickly, about Abraham right before we move on. Romans chapter 4, this is a blessing to us tonight, because every one of us as believers are the seed of Abraham. Isn't that a blessing that we are the seed of Abraham? Abraham is circumcised, showing the fact that God, showing God's ownership, showing God's blessings on Abraham and the patriarchs to follow. But the Bible very clearly tells us that as believers, we are the seed of Abraham. Look with me, if you would, Romans chapter 4. Look down at verse number 8. The Bible says this, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Verse 9, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. There's Abraham. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. We're the seed of Abraham, aren't we? The father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise, verse 13, that he should be the heir of the world was not of Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now we sing a little song. I don't know if you've ever had the wonderful privilege of singing this song, but we sing a song called Father Abraham. Have you ever heard that one? And I say it almost hesitantly because it has a whole bunch of motions that go along with it. And the song goes on for about a half hour. And you got to sing all the verses of it. Father Abraham had many sons. You heard that one? Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Then we start swinging our right arm. Man, if you've ever sung it before, it's a song. Then you start swinging your left arm, and you're going like this, and you're just out of control while you're singing that song. We used to sing that one a lot in chapel when I was in Christian school growing up. Father Abraham. Well, the truth is, Father Abraham has many sons. I am one of them, and if you know Christ, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. The truth is that all believers are the seed of Abraham because of the faith that he put in God. Aren't you thankful for Abraham's faith? The faith of God's people beginning with Abraham. But then let's real quickly tonight touch on the next Bible character that's given here in Acts chapter number 7. I want us to number 2. Number 1, we saw the faith of Abraham. But number 2, I want us to see Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ. Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ. So we go through the life of Abraham. Stephen's just journeying right through the Old Testament. Man, he's using this as an opportunity to open up the Old Testament scripture so that he can speak truth to these men that are falsely accusing him. And he goes through the faith of Abraham. And now the Bible tells us he moves on to using Joseph as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice several ways in which he used Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ. Number one, I want us to notice that Joseph was rejected by his brothers. Jesus was rejected by his own, wasn't he? The Bible says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says this of Joseph. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. It says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. They rejected their own brother. Can I say this? Just as the Sanhedrin envied Jesus. Again, this is this 71-member Jewish court of law that Stephen is standing before. They envy Jesus. They don't want to hear the message of Jesus. That's why they've already placed Peter and others in prison. They don't want to hear that message. And the Sanhedrin is now gathered before Stephen. And just as they envy Jesus, Joseph's brothers, the Bible tells us, envy him. They have a hatred in their hearts towards him. The Bible says they are jealous towards their brother. And even that passage of scripture in the book of Genesis when it's describing Joseph and the story with his brothers, it says they hated him yet the more. Man, there was hatred in their hearts towards Joseph. And the Bible tells us they rejected him and they sold him into slavery. Can I say this tonight? Man's tendency is to reject the truth. And that's exactly what we see when those that rejected Jesus did what they did. The tendency of man today, the tendency of human nature, is to reject the truth. Remember, Joseph speaks those dreams to them, and the Bible tells they're jealous of him. They're envious of him, that coat of many colors that he had. They throw him into that pit. And then they're so apathetic when they throw him in the pit that the Bible tells they start eating. They don't even care for their brother. They're so apathetic that they sit down and they start eating. Now, if you've done something wrong in your life, I hope you can't sit down and just start comfortably eating. The Bible says that's what they do, just in their apathetic heart. They sit down and they start eating. They draw him out of that pit and eventually they sell him into slavery. Rejected by his own brothers. Envious of their brothers just the same way the Sanhedrin was of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejected by his brothers. But then I want you to notice the second thing. Look at verse number 10 if you would. And delivered him out of all his... I got to go back up to verse number 9. Because it's so important for us to remember what the Bible says at the end of verse number 9. Oh, I almost failed to say it. But God was with him. Oh, we can't leave that out. Oh, I would have failed tonight if I'd have left that out. But God was with him. Think about this. Rejected, but God was with him. Can I say tonight, the second thought I want us to notice is this. Joseph was raised up by God. He was rejected by his brothers, but he was raised up by God. Aren't you glad? When you think about this tonight, there may be others tonight that are against you, but aren't you glad that God is for you? Man, God is for us. Who can be against us when we know that God is for us? Rejected by his brothers, but raised up by God. Notice what it says in verse number 10. God was with him. Notice how God raises him up and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Yes, rejected by his brothers, but raised up by God. And can I say this today? A perfect illustration of what happened with our Savior as well. Remember, he's a type of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus was rejected by his brothers, Joseph was. Just like Joseph was raised up by God, the Bible tells us 3 days after the death of Jesus Christ, he was raised up, wasn't he? Resurrected, and he lives today, doesn't he? Aren't we thankful for that wonderful promise? But the Bible goes even further than that in the book of Romans, and it talks to us about how that we are raised up as well. Joseph was raised up by God. Jesus was raised up by God. The Bible tells us we're raised up as well. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says this in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! We're not to continue in sin, right? How shall we live that are dead to sin, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now notice what he says in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now we know that when someone comes into our church and desires to be baptized, we baptize that person under the water, a wonderful picture of the fact that Jesus died and he was buried. But let's notice on, we go a step further. Verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. So Jesus died on that cross. He was buried just like we would place that person that's being baptized under the water. But then notice this, there's a application with baptism, but there's also a spiritual application as well. Look at what he says. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now wait, Christ was raised up. And the Bible tells us that we are then, as Christ was raised up from death, we are to walk in newness of life. Look at verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, meaning if we have buried ourselves like Christ did as a picture of his death, notice what it says, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, or meaning we shall be raised up as well. Here's what Paul's trying to say here in the book of Romans. If we died and buried our old life of sin, then we are raised to now live in righteousness. We're raised to now live in newness of life. Look at what he says in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We are buried, buried and reminding us of the death of our sin, but then we are raised up, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life. Joseph was raised up by God. Jesus raised up from the grave by God. And we, when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have buried the old life of sin and we are raising, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life. Now, when a person is baptized and they picture that through their baptism, it's not saying that we're putting them under water that's magically taking away their sin. It's saying that they are picturing something that has already happened in their heart. They already made that decision in their heart, and now they're giving a picture of that when they're burying their old life of sin and they're rising to walk in newness of life. That's what God desires for his children. So Joseph, like Christ, was rejected by his brothers. Like Christ, he was raised up by God. But number three, I want you to notice, like Jesus, Joseph was revealed to his brothers. Number one, we said he was rejected by his brothers. He was raised up by God, but then he was revealed to his brothers. Would you look at verse number 11 if you would? Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. Remember, there was 7 years of plenty. Now there's 7 years of great famine that's taking place. And our patriarchs, our fathers, couldn't find any food. The Bible says in verse number 12, but when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. He sent out his sons, didn't he? And the Bible tells verse number 13, and at the second time, so he sends them out the first time, and then remember, he sends them back home. Remember, eventually he asked for Benjamin to come, doesn't he? The only way I'm going to give you food is if Benjamin comes. And so Benjamin comes along with him, and the Bible says that Joseph was made known to his brethren. And Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. So number three, we see he was revealed to his brothers. And I say this, despite the fact that he was rejected of his brothers, he became the chosen deliverer, didn't he? In spite of the fact that he was rejected. There was a time that he was rejected by his brothers. But now he has become the chosen deliverer. Now remember, there was a time when Jesus was rejected by his brethren. Again, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But still today, he is the only way of salvation, isn't he? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so even though Joseph was rejected by his brothers, eventually he became that chosen deliverer. Even though Jesus was rejected by his own brethren, he is still today the only way of salvation. And so can I say this? Just like we said that Joseph was revealed to his brethren, Jesus has been revealed to us today, hasn't he? Jesus has been revealed to us. You say, how has he been revealed to us? Through the gospel that we heard one day. Jesus Christ in the way of heaven was revealed to us, and he's revealed to many today. By the way, aren't you glad for the time, for the day that he was revealed to you? Aren't you glad for the day that you heard about Jesus? Aren't you glad for the day that you heard the gospel, that Jesus died for you, and he was buried, and he rose again? But at the same time, there are many that haven't heard it. And so we're busy as God's people, as a lighthouse in this area, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ, because we want him to be revealed to them as well. We want them to know the way, the truth, and the life. And he's revealed to many today, but the choice is up to each individual person, isn't it? You either reject him or you receive him. You take the gift or you push the gift away. But the Bible tells us that just like Joseph was revealed to his brothers, Jesus has been revealed to us, and he is the only way to heaven. And then would you look at verse number 14 as we finish up tonight? It says, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. Now here's the encouragement as we finish the message tonight. We said that he was rejected by his brothers. We said that he was raised up by God. He was revealed to his brothers. But the last one is this, he rescued his brothers. Oh, Jesus has rescued us, hasn't he? He had a rescue plan that he knew would take place before the foundation of the world. And the Bible tells us just like Jesus, Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he rescued his brothers. They were rescued through Joseph. And the Bible tells us that we've been rescued by Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the rescue plan he came up with to be our Redeemer and to wash our sins away? Notice as he finishes the story of Joseph here, we'll read down just quickly tonight to verse 18. It says, so Jacob went down into Egypt, and you'll notice as he's progressing through the Old Testament here as we bring our message to a close tonight, and he died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the son of Emer, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham. Now remember, let's go back to what we said. Now we're going to finish quickly now, but go back to what we said. Remember, Abraham's living by faith. And God has given him a promise. Now, does he have a place or a possession yet? No. But he's trusting in a promise, isn't he? And the Bible tells us it's coming to a point where that promise is now going to take place. Aren't you glad that God always comes through with His promises? We might have to wait at times. We might have to trust a little bit. But God will always come through with His promises. And the Bible says the time of that promise was going to draw nigh. And notice what it says, which God had sworn, back to verse 17, sworn to Abraham. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. And then the Bible starts into, Stephen starts into the Old Testament story of Moses, which we'll pick up the next time we meet together on Sunday night studying through the book of Acts. But the encouragement tonight is this, the faith of Abraham. Do you have faith to believe? Do you have faith to trust in the Word of God? Are you putting that faith in the Lord? Is it evidenced by the reminder of the fact that you're a child of God? You are owned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you reminded of that tonight? And then Joseph, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what wonderful pictures we saw tonight in the life of Joseph. We gave the illustrations and the pictures of Joseph being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight in some way. And we talk about faith. We talk about the story, the Old Testament story of Joseph, which, by the way, happens to be my favorite story in the Bible. I love the story of Joseph and the way the Lord worked out things in his life there in the book of Genesis. I love studying through that story. May it remind us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Father, I thank you tonight for the truths of Scripture tonight from the book of Acts. And Lord, we've concentrated on two subjects tonight, both of them.